Okay. What is Chanukah? My Chanukah, right? Hello? What is Chanukah?
My Chanukah. That was in the Gemara.
So the Gemara says, Bekaf Hei Bekislev, on the 25th of Kislev, came the Yevonim, Bao Yevonim, V'timu et Kol HaShmonim, V'timu et HaHeichal, V'matsu, and they found Pach Echad Shel Shemen, B'chotamo Shel Kohen Gadol, with the seal of the Kohen Gadol, and they lit the menorah, and it lasted for 8 days. So because of that ness, kav'u chachomim, the chachomim of the time, fixed the shana haba to the next year, 8 days of Chanukah, lehodot ulehalel, to praise the Kodesh Baruch Hu, to recognize his good that he did for us on those days. Fine, so that's it. There's a little bit more to it. Chazal explained to us, actually the same Mishmul explains to us, that Chanukah is in fact an extremely deep Chag. What do I mean by that? If we deep, very, there's something very deep happening on that day. If we were to know what was happening, it wouldn't be a day of eating donuts and cheesy things and levivot and latkes. And you know, you could even eat donuts with ribat chalav, so you have milk and the donut together, right? It's not a day for that. What this represents Chanukah is so important. If we begin to realize it, it's something that should affect everyone's life. So when Chanukah comes, we want to be understanding of that day so it has an effect on our lives. In order to have an effect on our lives, we have to know why we're eating those donuts, right? Why we're eating those levivot? Why we're lighting a menorah? Why we're stopping learning to go and do these things? I mean, you should be learning. To go and light a menorah here in the Cheder Ochel and say Mao Tzu or whatever, go learn, it's better. So the Shem Yishmul explains, on the 25th of Kislev, the world was, not Kislev, the 25th of Elul, the world was created. That was day one in the creation of the world. What was day six in the creation of the world? Rosh Hashanah. Who was created on day six? Man. Just as man was judged on day six of the creation of the world, and therefore, for generations afterwards, yes, he was judged on that day, which is Rosh Hashanah. On the 25th of Elul, what occurred? What occurred on the first day of creation?
God says, light.
Let there be light. There was choshech, the Gemara says, al pnei tahom, on the depths of whatever we understand, on the depths. We don't really understand what those things mean. There was tohu vavohu, there was choshech. The Gemara says, choshech zu yavan, the midrash. Choshech, darkness, that's the Greeks. And on that choshech, the Gemara says, Vayehi O, let there be light. So the Shem Mishmul says, 3 months later we go, Kaf Hei Elul, 1 month, Kaf Hei Tishri. 2 months, Kaf Hei Cheshvan. 3 months, Kaf Hei Kislev, is Chanukah. The Vayehi O of Elul, the light of Elul, is the light of Chanukah. How is that? Says a person is made out of three parts. He has his physical part, his emotional part, and his thinking part, his head. The 3 months from the beginning of the creation are connected, are against those three parts. Those 3 months come into person starts, even when a child he develops his physical part, becomes a full-fledged physical human being by the age of 3. Then he develops his emotional part by the age of Bar Mitzvah. And then he develops his mental part, which starts to develop beforehand, but gets a completion in development from Bar Mitzvah till the age of 20. By the age of 20, he's fully developed in terms of his mental capabilities, and then it's just a question of depth of mental capabilities, which he adds later on in his life. But he's fully developed. So he's saying, those three parts are against these 3 months. In other words, the first month is the month of the lower part, our physical part. Right? That's the month of Tishri. The second month is the month of Cheshvan. And the third month, when we come to the mental level, to our cognitive level of this Vehi Or, is Chanukah. So Chanukah represents the highest point of this Vehi Or. We still don't know what this light is. It's not a fluorescent one. Right? What is this light? We're going to get there. He says another pshat. He says, on Rosh Hashanah we say, Hayom Harat Olam. If you're Ashkenazi, you say Haras Olam. But you don't really mean that. You mean Harat Olam, right? So, today was the impregnation of the world. The world came to the beginning of its being. Just as a child is impregnated in its mother. So there's nothing there in the beginning, is there? It's just the beginning of something. It doesn't even have any form. So too, on Kaf Hei Elul is the impregnation of Vehi Or. Says the Shem Mishmuel. Huh?
What day is that?
Kaf Hei, the 25th of Elul.
Okay.
Is the beginning of the creation of the Vehi Or, the first day of creation. Says the Shem Mishmuel, after pregnancy, 3 months later, the Gemara says, Huka HaVlad. The Vlad becomes recognizable. We know that this woman is pregnant. Everyone knows. It's a recognizable thing in the world. Says the Shem Mishmuel, Hanukkah represents the beginning of the recognition of this Vehi Or. I.e., there's a recognition of this light. What is this light? What is this light?
It's trimester.
Huh? Wait, it's trimester. I don't know what that is.
Trimester is there's three series of 3 months.
Right.
In pregnancy.
Oh, pregnancy. Okay, right. This is the first trimester, yeah.
So 3 months after the day he created light?
Yeah. 3 months after is what does it mean? It means the day of creating light is the impregnation of the concept of Vehi Or in the world. The concept where that thing becomes more solidified comes into some sort of form in which we see it in this physical world is Kaf Hei Elul, which
about
is Hanukkah.
6 days later.
That's okay. Where's the impregnation of humans? That
should be. I'm saying it's not until well after humans were created that the progression of that.
No. The first day of creation was Kaf Hei Elul, the 25th of Elul. The sixth day of creation was the creation of man. Conceptually, how we look at the year doesn't represent just one period of time. Like all our chagim, all our festivals in the cycle of the year didn't happen in 1 year. They happened over the whole generation of the Jewish people. Pesach, right? Shavuos, then Sukkot, right? That's the there's the chagim, the deraisa chagim, right? And then you have Purim and Chanukah. Purim was after the destruction of the first base of Mikdash, and Chanukah was during the time of the first base of Mikdash, right? Right? Yeah, first Chanukah was the first base of Mikdash. Yeah, destruction, the build just before the rebuilding was Purim, it was in Golos, and Chanukah was the different periods of time, but conceptually. Now that we have these fixed dates, what's special about these dates? Conceptually, in our year cycle, how do these dates work out? You understand what I'm saying? So conceptually, he's saying 3 months after a period of time is the beginning of seeing that concept in our reality of our of our year cycle. You understand what I'm saying? That means, just as a woman, she gets impregnated. I gave the concept of the impregnation of the world. So she then comes, there's a concept of hukah havlad, a recognition of the vlad. 3 months after something is impregnated, it becomes a level of recognition. Hanukkah represents the recognition of that day of Vayehi Or. It's 3 months after Kaf Hei El, which is Kaf Hei Kislev, 25th of Kislev. Or it's a cycle of three, that's the physicality, our emotions, and our mental state development. So Hanukkah represents the highest level of that development of Vayehi Or. So we have to understand, in order to understand what Hanukkah is, first we have to understand what is Vayehi Or. So Rashi, and remember, the Midrash says, when did this Or come? When there was Choshech. What does the Midrash say about Choshech? Choshech zu Yavan. Choshech is the Greeks. So the Greeks represent this Choshech, this darkness. And Hanukkah, the He Or of Hanukkah, comes to give light to this darkness. You with me? Clear? Okay. So now, what is the He Or? We go to the Chumash Rashi. We all learn Chumash Rashi. What does Rashi say about this light? So Rashi says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he created this light, saw that this light was Be'irbuvia, was mixed, darkness and light. And God said, it's not good for this light and darkness to be in a mixture. I'm going to separate this light for the tzaddikim, for the righteous, latid lavo. So this light is the light of the world to come. That's what this light represents. For tzaddikim, like the Gemara says and the Rambam brings, the tzaddikim anene, enjoy the ziv hashchina. Hem yoshivim, they're sitting with atarotehem, aroshehem, the crowns on their head, the crowns that they received on Matan Torah, v'nenim, and they're benefiting from the ziv hashchina. This is the light of Vayehi Or that was separated for tzaddikim latid lavo. So we're talking about a very spiritual light, a light of, what is this light? This is Olam Haba light, right? Is it neon? Is it, you know, one of these new types of lights? What type of light is it?
A black light.
Huh?
Maybe a black light.
Maybe a black light. It's not a black light. It could be. There's a concept of a black light. No, Pasha's not. But there is a concept. Light can be black as well. Right?
Oh, like you've never seen those purple? Never mind.
A purple light? No, not yet. I'm sure there's everything. But let's get the concept. What is this Vihi Or? What is this light? So the Gemara explains, there's a Gemara by Hanukkah. Now we're noticing that this light, how is this light exposed? This light is exposed in the menorah. So if we understand this light from Bereishis, and we understand that Hanukkah is an expression of this light, the light of the world to come, in this world, and what's the lighting? It's the lighting of the menorah. So there must be an association with the menorah. So now let's look at the Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara in Shabbos says as follows. The Kohen Gadol used to light the menorah. How he used to light it? He used to get up in the morning. He used to do Hatavas Aneiros. He used to, you know, fix the oil and the petilim. And then he used to start lighting with the western light. And he put the same amount of oil in all the lights. And then when he came the next morning,
in the
Beis Hamikdash, the side which is the most closest to the west would be the western light.
So you light a candle on the western side.
Yeah. Gotcha. It's like a menorah. The western side of the menorah would be the western light.
Gotcha.
Okay? That's the place which is closest to the west, which is facing the Shekhinah. Right? Which is facing the Aaron, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, right? So now, the Gemara says as follows. There was a Nes. What was a Nes? each of the Neiros had the same amount of oil to last for approximately till nightfall or wherever. When he came in the morning, and he used to start by lighting the western light and then go into the other lights. When he came in the morning, the western light was still alight. And the Gemara says, why was this Nes in the Beis HaMikdash? Why was this miracle there in the Beit HaMikdash, in the temple? To show us that the Shekhinah is with us. The Divine Presence is with us. So this light of Chanukah, this light of the menorah represents the Divine Presence. So now we understand. What does it mean, Olam Haba? The tzaddikim are sitting there, neni meziv ha-shechinah, and benefiting from the Divine Presence. And this is this Or HaGanuz. This Or HaGanuz is this Divine Presence.
Or HaGanuz?
Or this hidden light, it represents this Divine Presence. And this is the light of Chanukah. We have a law in Chanukah. Can you use the light of a Chanukiah? No. Why? Can you use the light of a Shabbos? In theory, yeah. There's a problem with Shemi Yate. But in theory, yes. It's not because it has any Kedusha. The Chanukah light you can't use. It's a zil to look, to see, to check closely. Outside, to check closely if this coin's a good coin or a bad coin, or to read from a sefer. It's something you need light for. You can't use close to the Chanukiah. That's why you have a shamash, right? So in case you use it, you'll be using the shamash light. You weren't using the Chanukah light. But the Chanukah light is also bahana. You're not allowed to benefit from it. Why can't you benefit from it? Haneris alalu kodesh hem. They're holy. Why are they holy? Because it represents the Shekhinah, the Divine Presence. In the menorah that you're lighting is a representation of the menorah of Beit HaMikdash, which represents the Divine Presence.
And Shabbos candles don't?
Shabbos candles don't represent that thing, it represents something else. We'll do Shabbos candles. Maybe we'll have a time, we'll explain. It's a Gemara. Okay? So now, now let's go back and understand a little bit more. We're peeling off little by little to find out what this chag's all about. How does this relate to Yavan? Yavan brought the opposite. What did they bring? They brought darkness to the world. Hechshich einehem belibam. Yavan, Greeks, brought darkness to the world. What do they want to do with us? What gezeiras they made on us? Did they want to kill us?
No.
No. Just be a nice American. Be a nice Greek. Come on, like me, right? They don't want to kill us, right?
Just take it in.
You understand? They didn't want to kill us. Just be a Mityavin like me. Just go to the Olympics. So you know, I always feel it's such a terrible thing that you know the Maccabees fought against the Yavin. Fought against the Olympics, the goof, and now we have the Maccabee Games. It's like the most ironic thing to call something. It's like, you know, it's like making the Maccabees into Greeks. The thing they fought about, we're going to make it the Greek, the Jewish version of the Greeks. It's like so ironic. I mean, they couldn't have picked a better word. I mean, they... I mean, it must have been some genius who worked this one out, right? But okay. But now, let's think a little bit more. What do they want? Because they didn't want to kill us. They want us just to be like them. So what's wrong? They're friendly, they're nice to us. They'll even give us, you know, they'll even give us non-kosher food to eat with them, right? Free of charge. No problems. What are you going to do with Bris Milah for? What do you think? Your goof is perfect. Your body is perfect. You're a perfect athlete. You don't need to do a bris to weaken yourself and to take away your desires for the opposite sex. You don't need to do bris milah for that.
necessarily the opposite sex in Greek culture.
Okay, whatever. Any promiscuous culture, any promiscuous culture, the Ramban says, just Jerichov, we're going to speak about that. Any promiscuous culture creates that problem. Because promiscuity, I explained to you, promiscuity, and people don't understand this, promiscuity is a concept of power. It's the man wanting to overcome the woman, and the woman to get the man. Manhattan, right? Men dress in suits. Power. Tall buildings, right? Power. Women dress flimsy. They might dress suits, but not. They'll be showing things with those suits. Yeah, right? They'll be dressing flimsy. And why? Okay, you know, you use what's your friend's book? The Wall Street... I'm sure it's written there as well.
Oh, yes.
Okay. So, right? So, why? A woman's power is in her promiscuity. A man's power is in his covered, in his showing his power in his suit. You understand? A man doesn't show power by wearing, you know, a flimsy t-shirt showing his... No one in Manhattan dresses that way, right? Because it doesn't show power, it doesn't show authority. So when you have a promiscuous society, the male-female relationship is a power relationship. Those people who are not that type, they're more adin, they're more delicate. So they don't like women who are powerful, and they don't like the men who are powerful either. So people who are delicate tend to get together, and they have a relationship, a male-male or female-female relationship, because they're not meeting any of the males who are interested that way in them, because they're low-key, low-power. And what happens is, because it's a promiscuous society, promiscuity, warmth gets translated into physical contact. So through having a warm and emotional relationship with someone, that gets turned into physicality. And that's what brings on all these things. Really, what should happen is that warm and caring and delicate person, you find the people who are, you know, these type of people are actually very nice people. They're unfortunate, they're living in the wrong environment to find the right spouse. If they were to find a delicate, warm and low-key girl, they would actually find her attractive, mad, but they were so put off by the girls that they're not even attracted to them. And they find their attraction is to men, because those are the relationships they have. So when you remove, if you put them in a proper environment, you will remove the problem. But that's what promiscuity curse. Now, if you do that for a few generations, what happens, as everyone knows, tether of a person that comes from his environment becomes part of him. If you do something along, even if a person has a psychological problem for a long period of time, that becomes part of him. It becomes his nature. His nurture goes and becomes his nature. He has a nature and he has a nurture which would create the nature. And it could be genetically that he could pass over that nature to his future children. So you'll have children who will have more of a tendency in those ways. So statistically, you might have a society who have a tendency for those things as well in a promiscuous society. You understand? And basically, you're going to have a breakdown of family life, a breakdown of society. And most cultures break down when you break down their family life. And that, unfortunately, happens in the way happening in the Western world. Most of the problems occurring because of the breakdown of family. So you want to say economics, we'll give other reasons, but the real reason is because of the breaking down of family life because of a promiscuous society. And if you look through history, most of the societies broke down when they came to a level of promiscuity. Okay? Anyway, that's a separate issue. But you understand now how it works. So if someone comes to you and tells you, oh, I'm like this, and I actually went, I went to San Francisco was on a plane, and I sat next to a Jewish boy. Jewish boy must have been about 30 years old, and he saw a rabbi. So for some reason, I don't know why he spoke to me, but he told me he was gay. So I explained to him the whole thing. So he told me, Rabbi, no one ever told me that. So I never understood this. No one ever told me that. I said, you know what you need? You need to find yourself a nice girl, a sweet girl, low girl. No one ever told me that, Rabbi. And he's actually, look, I don't know what he did. I never met him again. But he heard, he was listening, he was intrigued. These people are lost, they don't know, they don't know that, they don't meet girls, they're shy.
So did he like girls just from... Did he chop it and then there's like white girls?
No, I don't think he chopped it just like girls. It doesn't happen so quickly. You have to meet a girl.
Girls, they're just soft spoken.
No. You have to find a nice one. It's not so easy. You know, in the society we live in, the type of girl that you're going to meet is not going to be that type of girl. Where are you going to meet her? You're going to knock on people's doors and say, do you have a daughter like that? What are you going to do? You're going to meet her in the bar. You're going to meet her in the discotheque. Those girls aren't going to be there. And if they're going to be there, they're going to be in the corner. They're going to be embarrassed or something. And you're not going to be the one. You're going to see them. Even if you see them, you're going to be embarrassed. They're going to be embarrassed. You're never going to meet.
That's so true. That's actually the most ingenious explanation I've heard of all of them.
It's a
Ramban. Social interpersonal relationships among youth in general. Just in general, regardless of sexual orientation, in terms of how the norms for meeting each other and dating and how that doesn't work in terms of really like matching personality types, because all you get is people who are bunched together in those kind of atmospheres, and the people that don't fit in don't benefit from it.
Right.
Wait, how does that make someone gay?
No. It's saying
you're a different story.
It's saying that if you say you don't have an aggressive personality,
so now. The Greeks represent the darkness. Now, it's important, this thing, this was a tangent, but you have to understand that if you take the physical body and you make it as the perfection of your life, that by definition will bring you to promiscuity. All of Western culture, ultimately, Rome, Greek, all of these cultures bring on promiscuity. Because as soon as you say there's no spirituality and life is what you see and how you recognize, so the purpose of life gets taken away and life becomes or a mental debate for no reason, or it becomes a physical pleasure for the sake of physical pleasure. That's also for no reason. It's only when you...
Freud. This is Freud's.
Well, I didn't study Freud, but that's what it becomes. We can understand that without Freud. That's very simple. That's human nature if you take away spirituality. Don't give them a purpose. It's a simple concept. Now, and that will bring on the decay of society. So you'll get societies decaying, growing and decaying, growing and decaying. I never learned history, but probably that's what happens in society. Now, why is that choshech? Why is that darkness? They brought all of the Western world, they brought philosophy, they brought thinking, they brought culture, they brought everything which is good of the Western world. Why is that called darkness? That doesn't make sense.
We learned that today.
Because it's not attributing it to the source of all of that.
Very good.
It's a means within itself.
What's darkness? Right. What's darkness? What's darkness? Yeah, let's get the word about it. Let's get it understand it. We all know what darkness is. If you go outside, right? You go outside, and if we didn't have neon lights, we probably wouldn't be able to see much. Right? We'd be able to walk maybe a little bit. We won't probably be able to see much. You know, the moonlight isn't so great, right? And not all the time we have moonlight. It's, you know, the beginning of the month, it's Kimot not there, right? In the middle of the month, we have a moon. But in the beginning, we don't even have the moonlight. So it's very dark. Now, you go outside when it's very dark, and there's a wind, and it blows some leaves. Maybe there's an animal over there. If you have a good imagination, it's a lion. But you see a little something standing in front of you, and you think, wow, that's a big guy. And if you're in Harlem, you think, I better walk the other way, right? And then you walk there and you see it's just a telephone or some sort of box. So what does darkness do to a person? It takes away a recognition of form. There's no form. There's a tishtush of form. There's no form in the world. The Mesilas Yesharim says the same thing. It says, Nidme and Amud la Adam. It thinks that Amud is a pole, is a man. It's removal of form. Yeah? What happens Boker, morning? the beginning of the morning, you have a little bit of light, right? Then as more light comes in, you begin to recognize things. When does our first mitzvah start? When you recognize a friend that you know 4 amas away from you, that means he's outside your domain, just outside your domain, but there's a recognition of him, then we begin with mitzvahs. Why mitzvahs begins with recognition? Why it begins with recognition? What's recognition? Recognition is the beginning of seeing a form. When we see this form to the world, boker from Russian, levaker, the ability to check something, to see if something's right or in the right place. Biku cholim, you check up on the ill person, see he has what he has. So levaker, the beginning of light, is the beginning of form. The Gemara says, in Brachas, right? You guys learn Brachas? The beginning of Brachas says, that what's the difference between Tuma and Tara? Tuma comes from something impure. The same word, Tet Mem Aleph, can translate into Atima. Rashi says, in Kol Makom, Rashi says, Tuma is Atima, something which is closed on, closed away. Tuma is when something's closed away. So something closed away is dark to you. It has no form, you have no cognitive reality of it. That's Tuma. Tara, the Gemara says, Tihar Yoma. The morning comes in. Tiha yoma. There's a clarity of morning. Tara, purity, comes from clarity. When you have clarity, you recognize form. You recognize this is an amud, this is a man, this is a dog, this is a cat. Everything has its place, and you know why they're there, and you have a form to your life. Yavan was choshech, the removal of form. The Maharal explains that what is form? There's form, and there's the tzura, which is form, and there's chomer, and there's the matter. It says there's basically 3 types of people. He says, there's chomer for the sake of chomer. There's physicality, and for the sake of physicality. That's Mitzrayim. Asher basa susim Bisaram, Vizirma Basa Hamorim Bisaram, Vizirmat Susim Zirmatam. They have the flesh of the donkey and the issue of a sus. They're completely physical. That's Mitzrayim. Right? Hagar was a Mitzrit. Yishmael came from Hagar. Right? So that's. Then we have what's known as form, right? With Tzura. And then we have Tzura itself.
What is Tzura?
Tzura is form. Tzura is form. And
so
then we
form
have
with Tzura?
We have Tzura. We have Chomer with Tzura. That which and now. The Chomer with Tzura, that he says represents the Western world, or the Greek world, Edom. Edom's also the Greek world. That's the Western world. But the form it gives to the Chomer is the form is meshubad. Their form is meshubad to their chomer. Their form is, how you say meshubad, is enslaved to their physicality. The form is only there for the physical. I.e., the form is the main thing, and the tsura is the physicality is the main, and the form is only there to enjoy the physicality. I.e., the goof is the main thing. Physicality is the main thing, and all that we learn, all of our knowledge, is to indulge in the physical. In America, you spend millions of dollars in studying psychology in order to sell a packet of cigarettes or a Coca-Cola. You ever saw the Coca-Cola? Any sensible human being would not drink. Why? It's caffeine. Plenty of sugar. It ruins your teeth. I mean, you could probably make a whole list of things why we shouldn't be drinking Coca-Cola. So how do they sell it? So I don't know in America how they sell it, but I've seen here how they sell it. How do they sell it? So they tell you, they put a young guy there, and they say, do your own thing. Do what you feel like. Now, what does it mean, do what you feel like? That means, really, if you're a thinking person, you wouldn't drink Coca-Cola. Why wouldn't you drink Coca-Cola? Because it's bad for you. And everyone knows that. But if you do what you feel like, right? You're free about your life. Do what you feel like. Everyone likes, that's a good idea. Everyone wants to be, do what you feel like, right? It's a great idea. Do what you feel like. You're not going to be thinking about what's bad for you. You're going to think about what's tasty to you. Coca-Cola is tasty because you were brought up on it. So you'll drink it. You buy it. So that's how they sell it to you. You understand? They're selling you a message. They're not going to get through to you buying Coca-Cola. And they always put, but no, and there's no like preservatives there, as if that's a big deal for you, right? You don't need preservatives there, right? Because anything you put in there, it's an acid. What do you need preservatives for, right? But okay. But you understand the concept? Making, that's a concept. I'm trying to explain the concept. Making, learning psychology to be mishabited for the physicality, right? I'm not learning psychology. I mean, learning psychology could help people. I'm not saying they don't do that. But I'm saying how it's used in that way. You understand what I'm saying? That's Yavan. Yavan brought to the world wisdom. It's all choshech. Why is it choshech? Because there's no pnimius to it. Klal Yisrael represent surah, represent form, real form. But they give form, they give boker to the world. They give tihara, tara, purity to the world. They give this world form. That's the vihi or of Chanukah. The light of Chanukah, the Shekhinah, the divine presence, is a concept of clarity. When we understand what we're living for, we're living with the divine presence. Olam Haba, you're sitting. Sadiqim, Yoshivim, they're sitting. V'atarotem al-roshem, v'nenim ziv Hashchina. They have form, they have clarity. They see the ziv Hashchina, they know where they're going. So now you guys, so we should be learning Torah the whole of our lives, Rabbi. How can we go back to America and become Yavanim? Well, the easy answer is don't. And then, that's not, they say, the yeshiva here, right? So I could say, I don't care. And then everyone will be looking at me with a big surprise. And next week, come into my office, I want to speak to you, right? But let me explain something. The Rambam, Maimonides, was a doctor. The Ramban was a doctor. Oh, maybe you can be a Jewish doctor, that's okay. There were many people in Jewish history who had jobs and were knowledgeable. So how does that work? Now let me explain to you something different. When you give a meaning, when you give a depth to the physical world, then the physical world can have form. What was the Or HaGanuz, the hidden light on Chanukah, right? What was that light which took away the choshech of Greeks? Now I want to ask something. If you have only light, can you see? Can you see when you're looking at the sun?
No.
No. Do you see form on, in theory, we would be able to live on the sun? Would we be able to see shapes? Would we be able to see form? No. You can only see form when there's darkness. So there must be some level of darkness in order to see form, right? Complete brightness would dazzle us. We also won't be able to see form, right? So we need choshech in order to see form. The choshech will bring on sometimes the form. And that's what happens. The Chasam Sofer says that the choshech of Yavan brought on the awe of Klal Yisrael, the light of Klal Yisrael. What was this light? He says, Torah's HaKabbalah. Chasam Sofer. Torah of mysticism was the revelation on Chanukah. Why is that dafka what has to be revealed? Why?
Repeat that.
The Chasam Sofer explains that on Chanukah, the light that was revealed, this hidden light, was the revelation of Jewish mysticism, Kabbalah. That was the light which was revealed on Chanukah. That's the light of the menorah. The light of the menorah is Me'ain, the Torah of the Aaron. The Torah of the Aaron lights in the menorah. So how can we now take I will tell you an interesting thing. How do we call, what's the name? You know, in Hebrew you have what's called gematria. You've heard of gematria, right? You take something which has this numerical thing, this number, this numerical, and you say two things of the same numerical, it means they're connected. And now you come with a whole concept of what these things mean, right? Pnimius HaTorah deals a lot with gematria. Torahs of mysticism deals a lot with gematria. Why do we call it a Greek name? Geometry. Gematria is geometry. You ever thought of that? There's a word for it in Hebrew. It's called Cheshbon. Why don't we call it with a Hebrew name? Why do we call it the Greek name?
Cheshbon means geometry.
No, Cheshbon means the math, counting. No, but that's the word for gematria. That's the word. If you look in Sfarim, that's the word for gematria in the Sfarim. We have a name for it. Why do we call it a Greek word? It's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Why are we calling it a Greek word? That's Choshech. This is Pnimius HaTorah. This is Jewish mysticism. We call it a Greek word? It's crazy.
Even they say gematria?
Yeah, it's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. So what's the reasoning behind that? Without the Choshech, we can't understand the awe. We can't understand the tzura. The mathematics, geometry, these things in of themselves, if we think this is the world, this is all we see in the world, that's choshech. What I see is what I is choshech. If I put in to what I see in the world, a pnimius, an inner depth, then the gematria becomes all. You can be a Jewish doctor. You can be a Jewish physicist. You can be a Jewish mathematician. So long as you understand the pnimius of the Torah. So long as you understand what is giving this light. What is this based on? When you see the depths of the world and you understand them on your cognitive level and you're supposed to think, wow, what an amazing world our Creator made. And when you understand the depths of physics, or the depths of mathematics, or the depths of history, or whatever you're studying. What an amazing world the Creator made. You understand what I'm saying? It's how you associate. If you give tzura, if you give form to the physical world, then the physical world gets elevated. You can work as a doctor because you want to help people. You can work as any job. Because you need to make money for your wife and kids. You're elevating it. You're making it kadosh. You're making it holy. You're giving it a form. The purpose of the Jewish people is to give this physical world a form. Then the choshech becomes all. You're with me? Vayehi all. Why does it have to be the light of Kabbalah? Why can't it be just simple Torah? Because to understand the depths of wisdom, there has to be the depths and the inner depths of Torah. The philosophical works of the Jewish people are usually Kabbalistic works. Our psychology is from the Kabbalah. Even our so-called mystic physics, it's like physics in a sense. There's a lot of dimyon is there. The inner depths of the Torah show us how this physical world is just a shell of something much deeper, and it gives it meaning. How does this relate to us? If you do a mitzvah and someone says, put on tefillin, so you're putting on this black box, great, and you're learning the laws of it, so it has to be black, it has to be square, and Rabbi, is it, if it has some of its little white over here, does it posel it up on the straps? So you can learn all these laws. Great! Now I know what tefillin's about. No, you don't. It'll give you an idea and an understanding. When you understand the depths of what tefillin do to you, what tzitzis do to you, how they affect you, what davening does to you, what the mitzvahs do to you, the understanding ta'amei ha-mitzvahs, the understanding behind the mitzvahs, it gives you a bigger chibul, a bigger connection to them. And gives you a greater understanding of their form. That's the nes of Hanukkah, to understand our mitzvahs, to understand what's behind. So when we go back to the world of Yavan, that world gets a form in of itself. It gets a deeper form. We can't go back to the world of Yavan without an understanding of what that is. If we go back just with a set of rules, that's choshech. We're still living in a world of darkness. We'll keep. We know. We're religious. We're Yerei Shamayim. We'll keep. We have to go back with an understanding. And that's where all here in yeshiva, for us, the 2 years of yeshiva is Chanukah for us, where we learn Tamei HaMitzvos. We understand the mitzvos. That's the purpose of every Jew, to understand and to connect to his Creator on a deep level. And only that can be done with toil and thinking and endeavor. And that's the Nes of Chanukah. The Nes of Chanukah is, even though we live in this Choshech, even though we live in this world of the Greeks, where all we see is physical, and we don't see any meaning and depth behind it, Chanukah comes along and says, there is. There's a menorah. There's the divine presence. There's a light there which represents this divine presence, which sheds light on this physical world and tells us that it's not a physical world. It's a world which has a form. It's a world which light gives over to it to give it a form. That's why, where do we light a Chanukiah? Really, we should light it in the streets, outside, in the Rosh Hashanah. Why there? Chanukiah should light like a Ner Shabbos, inside. It represents the menorah. The menorah is lit up in the streets and at night, because we're shedding light to those lower places, those places that have no form. And we're giving form to them. We're giving light to them. We're shedding light there. We're mefarsim anes. The nes of Chanukah is a nes that whatever darkness the Jewish people are in, they will always have some form. There will always be some semblance of form to their lives. They will always be able to come to reignite that form. Even if there's only a little bit, one pach shemen, that should only last for a day, it will last for 8 days. The menorah has 7 branches, represents physicality. Maharal explains, 8, one more than 7 represents eternity. There will be one pach shemen that will last for 8 days. There will be enough light that will last us for eternity. And Chanukah represents that wherever a Jew is, wherever he's coming from, wherever he fell to, there will be that pach shemen in him, that if you light it up, it will light in him for eternity. And that's the nes of Chanukah. And we are all living nisim of that nes. We've all been lit up in our lives. And that litting up, that lighting up of ourselves, which we have to do every year, and this is a special time for doing it, to rekindle ourselves, to relight ourselves, to connect to that Or HaGanuz, and to give our lives tzura, to give it form, so that we can live a life, not of choshech, not of darkness, not of physicality for the sake of physicality, but physicality with a connection to form, with a connection to that which is real, that which is true. And that all our physical things that we do in our life are connected to that form. You with me? Questions?